science and technology are sometimes seen as being in conflict with religion and spiritual beliefs. Religions, formed long before many of the most important scientific discoveries and technological developments, can sometimes operate in contrast to some sets of beliefs. But our next guest says science, technology, and religion can have more in common than we might think, and she's teaching a new class this fall that explores the intersections between them. You can join in at 800-642-1234. It's a big topic. How do you think about the relationship between science and religion? If you're a person of faith or spirituality, do you see your beliefs coming into conflict with science, or do you see them working together in ways people might not expect? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. Kara Rock Singer is an assistant professor of religious studies at UW-Madison. Kara, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks so much for having me.
Well, religious studies doesn't always leap into the world of science. What is it that led you to look at the ways these overlap, intersect, and sometimes conflict?
So I like to joke that I was sort of the poster child for the liberal arts education. Coming into college, I was a molecular biology major, and I took a distribution requirement, and I just happened to take a religion class, and I kind of got hooked. And so at some point, I owe it to a wonderful mentor who was a biophysics professor who was also a very broad thinker about the world and said, oh, well, you're interested in religion and you're interested in science. And what about the intersections? And I hadn't quite ever really considered much about that. And now that has become really the basis of my career.
I think a lot of times in the media and in pop culture, too, science and religion ends up being science versus religion. We look at the drama, the conflict, you know, the Scopes trial of evolution and religion. It doesn't have to be that way, though, does it?
Absolutely. So I think, first of all, let me start with just the big caveat that these categories that we're talking about are incredibly broad, and they're often talked about in terms of that are universal, but scholars are always trying to show how problematic broad definitions are. There's always exceptions, obviously, but in these cases, most scholars argue that fundamentally science and religion are, at least as we understand them and the way that we talk about them in public discourse, are products of modernity, of the West, and are also categories that were intimately shaped, especially in Europe, in relation to each other. So that is my big caveat for saying when we're talking about these things, I'm talking about things that have happened since, say, the 18th century. Right. So that, and if people want to talk about, well, what was before, we can go there. But so with that in mind, I think a lot of early scholarly work on science and religion happened, was really centered around trying to push back at this narrative about conflict. You know, dig into, say, Galileo. You see, actually, you know, it's a little more complicated, for example, this kind of myth-busting approach. And I think subsequently over the last 20, 30 years, people have really started to look beyond some of these canonical categories about, you know, elite European men who are either scientists, these big names, to think, for example, about other religious traditions, other genders, sexualities, races, and how these configurations look more complicated. And so, again, that is to say, sort of these big narratives are always flawed and there are always exceptions, but these exceptions, I think it's not that the exceptions prove the rule, it's that the exceptions in this case, I think, really break down the coherence even of any big claims about conflict.
We're talking to Kara Rock Singer from UW-Madison, teaching a first ever class on religion and science and the way they overlap. You could join in with your questions for our guest, your thoughts at 800-642-1234. Kara, even narrowing it down to just the last few centuries, it's a big topic. What are some of the specifics you're hoping to get into, say, with your students in the fall?
So I am really interested in even just breaking down the question of what these categories are. So we're going to start off thinking about technology, and I'm going to say, you know, what is technology? And you might imagine we have radios, or as we are, or iPhones, or Zoom, or all of these things that we're really familiar with. Then the question is, well, what about hammers? You know, what about even the human body as it interacts with the world? I, for one, am a scholar, especially of gender and American Judaism. And so I'll be talking too about things like religious rituals, like the Jewish ritual bath, which is called the mikveh, and the way that that is also a kind of technology that regulates sexuality, but it also controls and separates between what's sacred and profane, these kind of classic categories of religion, and asking students, is this a technology? What's the line between ritual and technology? And all of these kinds of questions that that occupy me in my work as well.
And you've said elsewhere that religion and science are both ways of organizing and making sense of the world around us. Can you talk about that idea?
Absolutely. So I'll start by saying that when we talk about religion as a category, for example, we might mean a religion, like one of the world religions, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, etc. Or we might be talking about religion in a kind of more abstract way, but religion as a category that does some kind of work in the world. And there are lots of theories about this. But some of the kinds of things that we might talk about in terms of how religion works is, how does it set relations of value? What matters to people? Another kind of dominant type of theory is, how do we, as I mentioned with the mikveh, how do we separate between what's sacred and profane, or what's pure and impure? We might also think about religion as a way we manipulate and police and control categories of who or what is human. And so we can think about those kinds of ways of working in the world that sometimes overlap and sometimes don't overlap with scientific imagination. So, right, religion might set out a certain set of values, a particular kind of religion, say justice or care, whatever the case may be. And those might be in line with values, because science is also value-driven and it has its own values that have similar aims. So we might think about sort of utopian movements as something that also works towards these same kind of endpoints or end goals. I'm always fascinated, though, in particular, I think one of the big sticking points in this relationship is how faith, which is a really big category in at least some religions, especially Christianity, relies very much on doubt. You have to not know for sure for it to really count as faith. And scientific knowledge generally works on proof, on the elimination of doubt. And very quickly, these waters can get very muddied. We can start thinking, for example, about statistics, which are also a modern invention. And I have been thinking a lot, as most people have been, about, say, risk calculus. We're living through a pandemic. And I think that has brought risk calculus to the forefront of our minds. So we all know a lot about this very intimately, of what it feels like not to know whether there are invisible particles in the air that could hurt you, and deciding how likely or unlikely it is to get an infection or to have those cause a noticeable response in your body, for example. So you might have a high probability of getting infected if rates are high, or you might have faith that you won't get sick. And when you don't, that might be confirmed. And that's where sort of empiricism pops up, this idea that there's something provable that you can test, something that you can observe and show. But maybe you wear a mask and that helped, which maybe could explain it in scientific terms, or you could attribute it to God, and maybe both. Maybe God makes use of scientific tools, or God's works are explainable through science. So I'm going on in this kind of game. It's kind of a performance, but you get the idea. And these are all positions that reflect ones people have taken over the course of history. Religious actors have claimed science as a religious tool, and have looked at nature and said this proves the existence of God, for example. Or other kinds of elements of that sort of performance are in there. And so I could unwind all of these, but I think you get the idea.
We're talking with UW-Madison religious studies professor Kara Rock Singer about where science and technology overlap with religion and spirituality. You can join in if you would like at 800-642-1234. Do you see these intersections between religion and science in your daily life? Are there things where you appreciate modern technology because it maybe helps you meet with your congregation, say by Zoom, when a church isn't available to you? Are there points where your personal beliefs clash with what you hear from the scientific world? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. This is Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Kara Rock Singer. She's an assistant professor of religious studies at the University of Wisconsin, Madison, with us today exploring how science and technology intersect with religion in our lives, in our society, beyond. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Are these things you've been thinking about? Do you look at religion with a scientific lens in your life? Do you look at new scientific discoveries through a religious or spiritual mindset yourself? Do you see them running into each other or reinforcing each other? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Kara, I'm interested in your approach to this. We could look, if we're talking about a religion or a denomination or something, you know, with the history of it, the official pronouncements of the institution, if there is one, or kind of from the daily lived experience of the individual believer. Which do you kind of focus on as you teach a class like this?
So I am definitely invested in the second approach, with the caveat that I think what makes the approach to religion as lived, as people live it, is that it's not actually independent of what official elites say. People are always working with this kind of push and pull between what, you know, they're told from elites and what they experience in their lives. So I think it's always that mix, and lived experience incorporates very much what we hear sort of quote unquote from above.
Are there particular, you know, modern day scientific discoveries that you're particularly interested in looking at with your students in this class? You know, we've got this new James Webb telescope, for example, bringing all these images from the galaxy. Of course, new vaccine research. Are there particular zones of science that you are interested in?
Yes, all of those. I mean, I was so floored when I saw those images, and also my social media accounts were blowing up with all kinds of people just reflecting on sort of with the telescope pictures, sort of seeing the origin of the universe. And I think it's exciting that this is happening in real time and you're hearing, you know, podcasts and big news media having these kind of religious-like conversations. So I'm definitely going to work that in. I am very interested myself in the biological sciences and questions around reproduction and women's bodies. So we'll definitely be talking a lot too about things like genetic testing, about reproductive technologies and how these are shaped differently, not only within traditions, but actually local contexts. And lots of questions about, issues around abortion, I think are so important. So I want to really keep the class really tied to what feels important now.
Yeah, that last point, obviously a very big issue now. Different faiths might attribute the beginning of life anywhere from the point of fertilization to a first breath out of the womb and anywhere in between. And there's some decisions we have to make legally that maybe science isn't going to answer that question.
Yes. I mean, I think part of what's interesting, though, is that religion doesn't necessarily, quote unquote, religion doesn't necessarily easily answer that question either. For one, I think even within, say, the Catholic Church, official ideas about when life begins have changed drastically over the course of history. I just read a really fascinating piece in The New Yorker by an author, and I hope I'm pronouncing the name right, Gia Tolentino. From a few weeks ago, it's called "Is Abortion Sacred?" She talks about her own relationship to abortion as a Catholic, and also gives some of that history. Or we might look at places like a book that I'm gonna have students read by Elizabeth Roberts called God's Laboratory, looks at IVF practices, in vitro fertilization in Ecuador, which is a Catholic country. And there she shows how patients really understand technological interventions as just part of what always happens with reproduction. It's always assisted, whether it's through your family or God. And so there's a way that things get folded in. And so I think also on denaturalizing and problematizing what come to be very cemented positions, showing not only that they're very recent, but also that they're interpreted differently in different contexts, is really one of the strategies I use most often in my teaching, making the familiar strange.
Kara, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
Kara Rock Singer is an assistant professor of religious studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She was with us today to explore ideas around science and religion. She's teaching a class this fall, first time, on where those intersect and conflict and sometimes support one another.